Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. I'd like to have you remember to pray for a few people, if you would, please. Continue to pray for Ruby McQuarrie. She fell here last week and ended up breaking her collarbone, I believe it was, and so she's on the mend. It's a little bit harder when you get to be about 86 years old, so keep her in your prayers. Pray for Eric and Connie as they're traveling. They're down in Florida, going to be traveling back next week. Pray for the Friars as they all head out to California. Greg Friar is graduating from Bible College, and pray for him as he seeks the Lord's will as far as what he would have Greg to do in the future. I know the Lord has laid upon his heart in New Zealand to go there to be a missionary. If that be the Lord's will, then let's encourage him and help him. But pray for them. Greg and his mom and dad are already out there. I believe Kendall, Courtney, and Sonny fly out there Tuesday, correct? And so if you would keep all them in prayer, and we really would appreciate that. 1 Samuel chapter number 1 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 1, and we're going to look at verse number 1 through verse number 22. Most of us have heard of the Bible story and the biblical character of a young lady by the name of Hannah. Hannah was a great Bible character. Most of us would think that there's probably a lot more in the Bible that's said about her than what there is. Actually, there's only two chapters in the whole Bible that talk about Hannah. And Hannah is a great role model. A great role model for Christian women. And this morning, as we think about Mother's Day, I hope that you will look at the life of Hannah and say, by the grace of God, I want to emulate some of the things out of her life. And I want you to notice some things this morning about this woman by the name of Hannah. And I'd like to bring you a message this morning entitled, The Value of a Praying Mom. The value of a praying mom. A lot of things we can put value on, but one thing is priceless, and that's a mother that prays. And I want you to notice what it says in 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramath-Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, an Ephraimite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Paniah. And Paniah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave unto Paniah his wife and all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so, year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah under her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat on a seat by a post in the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying, before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. And Eli answered and said, Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And she rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to the house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was about to come, after Hannah had conceived, she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and abide there forever. And if we would go on and read all of the rest of chapter 1 and chapter 2, we find that after Samuel was weaned, she brought him to the temple, and they made sacrifice, and she gave him to Eli the priest, and Eli raised Samuel in the house of the Lord, and Samuel became a great character in the Old Testament, a godly man, a man that walked with God. And it was all because there was a woman that decided, I'm going to be a praying mom. You know, we value so many different things in life. We'll end up, we get these sale papers in the newspaper, and they'll have a sale on shoes, or maybe they'll have a sale on cars, or maybe we're looking for a new home, and we're looking through all the different advertisements about different homes, and the price of homes had fallen, and we say, boy, this is a good buy. This is a good buy on a pair of shoes, or this is a good buy on a car, or this is a good buy on a home. May I remind you that shoes wear out? And that new car that you get today, next year is not going to look so new. And 10 years from now, you're going to wish you didn't have it. That's the way it usually works. And that brand new house that you buy, within a couple years, it's not new anymore, and the excitement of the new house turns into repairs. May I remind you that all of those things we place extremely high value on. But there is nothing more important and there is nothing more valuable than a mother that will take time and pray for her family. Pray for her children and pray for her household and pray for her husband and pray for her church and pray for those that are around her. You know, a successful mom, I really believe, is a praying mom. It's not how much money you have. It's not how much influence you have with worldly means. But it's really about getting a hold of God. Today we think of Mother's Day. And we need to consider what the Bible has to say about a godly mom, a godly mother. In Proverbs 31:10 it says, Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. In Proverbs 12 and verse 4 it says, A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. In Proverbs 18:22, it says, Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. In Proverbs 19:14, the Bible says, Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. And again, in the New Testament, we find in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Over and over, we find that these passages deal with the value of a mom. But in the passage that we read out of 1 Samuel, we find a great lesson. A lesson about a young lady that decided, regardless of the circumstance, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pray. Look at your Bible, if you would, please. I want you to notice. Notice what it says in verse number 10. In verse number 10 it says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She was in bitterness. And instead of just being bitter, like so many of us do, as things go wrong, as they sometimes will, and the road you're traveling is all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, as the old poem goes. When things is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. You know, that's the way we are. And we live in this world, and we live in a sin-cursed world, and this world is filled full of problems and trials, and so many times we will go ahead and become bitter because of the circumstances. And she allowed this bitterness, just not to let her be bitter, but this bitterness drove her to the Lord. I know that some of you have been through some health problems this year. Don't allow it to become bitterness. Allow it to drive you to the Lord. I know that some of you have gone through some real trials, difficult times, and maybe times of rejection. Don't allow that to become bitterness in your life. Allow that to drive you to the Lord and drive you to the place where you're going to be on your knees before God and draw close to God. Verse 10, it says, she prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Look what it says in verse number 12. And it came to pass as she continued in praying before the Lord. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 2. And Hannah prayed. And over we find in chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, even though there was difficult times, Hannah decided, you know what? I'm not going to be bitter about these things. And even though it is a bitter circumstance, I'm going to take time and I'm going to draw close to God. Don't allow life's trials to make you bitter. Allow them to make you better. Amen? I want you to notice this morning just four simple things about the value of a praying mom. Verse number 2 through verse number 8 tells us this about Hannah. Hannah, she continues to be a praying mom through adversity. So many times we'll just quit on God. Well, things didn't go the way I thought they'd go, so I'm just going to quit on God. I'm not going to pray anymore. I'm not going to read my Bible anymore. I'm not going to go to church anymore. I'm just going to quit. Moms, let me just say this. You are the mortar that holds the bricks together. And I realize that dads need to be strong in the home. But the mom makes it work. And it is a working relationship between a mom and a dad, between a husband and a wife, that makes a happy home. And let me just say this, without the Lord Jesus Christ, there's not going to be a whole lot of happiness. Make sure that He's number one in your life. But she continues through adversity. Notice what it says in verse number 2. Look at the adversity that she went through. It says, and there was a man by the name of Elkanah. In verse number 2 it says that he had two wives. The Bible says in verse number 2, the name of the one was Hannah. And the name of the other was Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah, she was barren. She didn't have any children. You see, she continued through adversity. Hannah was the other wife. How would you think that would make you feel? I'm glad that polygamy is outlawed in America. Amen? Can I get an amen, ladies? You know, God allowed that in the Old Testament, but He never condoned it. He never endorsed it. But He did allow it. She was probably the other wife, and probably she was probably the first wife. Her name is mentioned first. Hannah was probably the first wife, but because she could not have children, Elkanah said, "You know what? I've got a plan. I need to marry again." How do you think that made her feel? I'm sure that that didn't settle well. Therefore, her husband married again because he wanted to have children to be able to leave his inheritance to so that his name would not be blotted out. And there was I could get into a whole dissertation on the inheritance with the children of Israel. And it was very important to have sons. That way you could pass your property and all your valuables and all your assets down to your sons. But I want you to notice that she continues through adversity and she continues to pray. The Bible talks about it in Luke chapter number 18, verse number 1, that men ought always to pray and to faint not. In other words, don't quit. She made the best out of a bad situation. And God, like I said, God allowed polygamy, but He never encouraged it. He never endorsed it. And if you're in a bad situation this morning, and I don't know the situation of everybody here, and thank God I don't. I don't want to know. Listen, don't confess to me. I'm not a priest, all right? Confess to God. The quickest way to go ahead and get your preacher discouraged is have everybody come about 10:55 and dump on your preacher before I get a chance to preach. Amen? Probably not a good idea. But listen, if you're in a bad situation, here's four things you ought to do. You ought to write these down. Number one, you ought to pray. If you're in a bad situation, number one, you ought to pray. Number two, you ought to seek the face of God. You ought to get in God's Word and you ought to look at God's Word and say, "Lord, what is it that You have for me? Why am I going through this situation? Why am I going through this difficulty in my life?" Allow the situation to drive you to God. Drive you into the presence of the Lord. Number three, what you need to do is change things if you can. In other words, if you're in a bad situation, if you can change it according to God's Word, change it. If you're living in a sinful situation, change it. Amen? If you've got a vice that's controlling in your life that's not godly, change it for the glory of God. And so if you find yourself in a bad situation, number one, make it a matter of prayer. Number two, seek the face of God. Number three, change it if you can change it. And then number four, wait on God. Wait on God. So she continued through adversity. Remember, she was the other wife. She was the first wife. And then she was the barren wife. How do you think that probably made her feel? Maybe she felt judged of God. Why did God allow this to happen to me? Why did God put me through this? She probably felt incomplete. I can't give my husband children. I don't understand. She probably felt incapable. She probably felt like she was not worthy. You know, I'm glad that if we're a child of the King, we are made worthy through Christ. Amen? And even though by ourselves we are unworthy and we are incapable, and without Him the Bible says we can do nothing, I'm glad that that God can do all things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. She was a barren wife. Look at verse number 8. She was a scorned wife. Boy, if verse number... in chapter number 1... In verse number 6, if this doesn't describe Satan, "And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb." Isn't that like the devil? Amen? Makes us worry, makes us fret, provokes us. That's what the devil does. Listen, as a child of God, never get caught up in the devil's work. Amen? One of the things a child of God should do, 1 Corinthians 14:26, says that all things be done unto edifying. We are to be builders and builder up of people. The devil's the one that tears down. The Bible says that, and her adversary provoked her. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Now we find out who her real adversary is. It was the other wife. Then the other wife was playing the role of the devil. And she was provoking Hannah and trying to discourage her. But you know what? That did not dissuade her. She kept on going in the right direction. You see, she was the other wife. She was the barren wife. She was a scorned wife. She was scorned, yet she was full of integrity. Someone might ask, well, what exactly does integrity and what does character really mean? Here's a couple thoughts. Real character is what you really are when no one is watching. Amen? Real character is what you are when no one is watching. And real integrity is doing the right thing regardless of the consequences. I'm going to do the right thing. And so number one, she continues through adversity. Number two, look at verse number 9 through verse number 11. So Hannah rose up after that she had eaten in Shiloh and after that they had drunken, and Eli the priest sat upon a seat at the post of the temple in the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts. And as she prayed, it says there in verse number 12, and it came to pass, she continued praying before the Lord, and Eli marked her mouth. And Eli thought that she was drunk. And really, she was just praying. She was praying in her heart. Only her mouth moved. There was no words. You know, there's only a couple times in the Bible where you'll find a silent prayer ever prayed. Hannah was one of them. Nehemiah chapter 1 was the other. Besides those two, I really don't know of any others there might be. But we find that they prayed. Is it okay to pray in your heart? Sure it is. They did. But I think it's more important to make sure that you take time to pray. It's not about the position of the body when you pray. And it's not about the elegant words that we say when we pray. It's about the position of our heart with God. And so I want you to notice, she knew, verse number 9 through 11, she knew just exactly where to go to get the answers of life. That's number 2. She knew where to go to get the answers of life. She realized in verse number 5 that kind acts could not satisfy her. Elkanah, her husband, says, you know what? I'm going to give you a worthy portion. I gave Peninnah, my wife, a good portion, and her sons and her daughters good portions. But you know what? I'm going to give you a worthy portion. I'm going to bless you. You know what? That just didn't satisfy. And she knew where to go to get the real answers of life. It wasn't through kind acts. It wasn't through kind words. In verse number 8, Elkanah come to her and says, look, don't not eat. Don't not drink anything. Go ahead and eat and drink. He says, after all, am I not better than 10 sons? I don't think that helped anything. You know, as much as Elkanah probably tried to cheer her up and said, hey, look at me. I'm better than 10 sons. It probably didn't help. You see, kind words could not satisfy. So she went to the house of the Lord. In verse number 7, notice what it says in verse 7 in your Bible. As she did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept sore and did not eat. And every year when they went up to do their vows, and every year when they went up to do their sacrifices, she knew what was coming. She knew her adversary was going to provoke her. And, oh, yeah, you're the one that can't have any children. Oh, you're the one that couldn't perform for your husband. And now, I'm going to take his place and I'm going to have the children and I'm going to do all of this. And she provoked. She provoked Hannah. But the Bible says she went up year by year. I think Hannah understood the importance of being in the house of God. The Bible says in Psalm 23, that great psalm, that last verse that says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord," for how long? Forever. In Psalm 27, verse 4, it says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." The psalmist said, "I want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In Psalm 92 and verse 13, it says, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." Not only do I want to dwell in the house of the Lord, I want to be planted in the house of the Lord. I want to grow my roots. I want to draw my strength and all of my nourishment from the house of the Lord. Amen? I remember a number of years ago, John Boz, where's John? There he is. Him and another guy, Virginia says, "I'm going to give you a blue spruce, preacher." I said, "Oh, great. You remember this, John?" And I said, "Man, that's great." He says, "It's the one that was out in front of the front porch, I believe, out there." And I said, "Great." I said, "I got a place for it. I want to put it out there in the yard." And my house out there on Byer Road. And so I went ahead and I stopped by. And there was the blue spruce stuck in a 5-gallon bucket. And there was no dirt on the roots at all. None. I mean, I thought he took a garden hose and washed them off. I mean, there just wasn't any dirt. And I thought, this is never going to make it. This is never going to make it. And I thought, well, I'm going to give it my best shot. So I dug this big hole and I got Miracle-Gro potting soil and all kinds of stuff. And I gently put those roots in and I packed those roots down in there. And I watered it, and I packed a little bit more roots in, and I watered it, and I packed a little bit more roots in, and I watered it, and finally got it completely filled up, staked it up so the wind wouldn't blow it over, and I thought, "Lord, you're going to have to do this because this tree's going to die. I mean, you're going to have to. I mean, there's just no way." And so the first year, it just kind of stayed there. And I thought, okay, I wonder what it's going to do. And the next year, about 80% of the pine needles fell off of it. And it looked like Charlie Brown's Christmas tree. It was bad. And I thought, okay, this is not going to make it. It's just not going to make it. So the next year, it just kind of sat there. And about June, I saw a couple little green buds on the end of the branches. And I thought, there's life in that thing. Now, the year before, when all the branches dropped his needles, I went over to one of the limbs, and if you take your thumbnail and scratch the bark, and if it's got a little green underneath, you know that there's some life. It didn't have any green underneath there. I took the branch and I bent it and it went snap, it broke in half. I thought, this thing is done for. But the next year there was just a little tinge of green. The fourth year, there was little tinges of green all over it. And now that little Colorado blue spruce that was about this tall is about 10 foot tall and beautifully shaped. Now, I said all that to say this. We need to be planted. We need to be planted. And the Bible says there in Psalm 92 and verse number 13, "Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." When we are planted, we are going to draw moisture and we're going to draw strength and we're going to draw nutrients wherever we're planted. You see, the problem with many Christians, they've been planted in the wrong place. They've been planted out in the world. They've been planted at the bar. They've been planted with the Hollywood scene. They've been planted here and there, and they've left God out. They've left the house of God out, and they've been planted in other things, and then all of a sudden, they're not drawing the nutrients and the nutrition that they need, and because of that, they wither and never produce any fruit. The Bible says, and those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. In Psalm 122, verse 1, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In Psalm 134, verse 1, behold, bless ye the Lord, ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You remember this. She did so habitually. She did so year by year, even though she knew that her adversary was going to be there. Even though she knew that she was going to provoke her, she still did the right thing. She also did it habitually. She did it in the midst of adversity. She wept sore, the Bible says. It says in Psalm 51, verse number 17, a prayer that David prayed after he was exposed for his sin with Bathsheba. And he said this in verse 17, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In 2 Kings chapter number 20, in verse number 5, it tells the story about King Hezekiah, and God told King Hezekiah, he says, you need to get your affairs in order because you're going to die. And Hezekiah, the Bible says, he turned his face towards the wall and began to pray, and he wept sore. And then God sent Isaiah back to him and said, I have seen thy tears. You know, I really think that when we take time to pray about stuff, maybe we really ought to be sincere about it. Amen? And I did a little study on God seeing tears. The psalmist said that Lord, put my tears in a jar. Count them. I think if we're going to take time and pray over something, maybe we ought to be sincere enough to weep over it. Amen? When was the last time you wept over your children? When was the last time you wept over a situation? When was the last time you wept for America? Boy, America needs some tears shed for it. This country's in a mess. You see, number one, she continued through adversity. Number two, she knew exactly where to go to get the real answers of life. She went to the Lord's house. She went to the God of that house to pray. And she was burdened about her request. Number three, she knew the importance of glorifying God with her prayer request. She did not pray a prayer like Janis Joplin prayed years ago. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all have Porsches. I must make amends. I guess I'm showing my age, huh? You know, there's a lot of times people will pray and they will go ahead and they will pray selfish prayers. And when Hannah prayed, this was not a selfish prayer at all. It was a prayer to glorify God. She knew the importance of glorifying God with her prayer request. Verse number 11 tells us she prayed for a man-child. Not just to say, I have a son, but that she could give him back to the Lord. I really believe, parents, listen to me, moms and dads, you need to give your children back to the Lord. Amen? Amen? If God gives you children, you remember this. They're only on loan to you. God is the one that actually owns them. Psalm 127, verse number 3, Lo, children are the heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. All children belong to God. And so therefore, if God allows us to have children, you remember, they're just on loan to you. You should raise them for God, because they belong to Him. She prayed for a man-child. She prayed and vowed to raise him for the Lord, to keep him separate. Look at verse number 11. It says, "And I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Now that was actually a vow of a Nazarite, according to Numbers chapter number 6, that a person would go through, and it was a special religious sect, the Nazarite. By the way, Jesus was not a Nazarite. He was from Nazareth. It's a little different. It'd be like if you're from Oak Harbor, you'd be an Oak Harborite. Alright? That sounds kind of odd. Or if you were from Genoa, I don't know what you'd call you. No, it'd be a Genoaite, or I guess. But here he was a Nazarite. Jesus was from Nazareth. He was a Nazarene. He was from Nazareth. But a Nazarite was someone that was a religious sect. And so here Samuel was a religious sect to show that he was of God in the Old Testament. What they did, the Old Testament guys that was a prophet of God, many of them that went through this vow of a Nazarite would not cut their hair as a custom, as many others would not cut their hair. You say, well, that meant they had real long hair. Well, no, not necessarily. Every year they took a vow of a Nazarite, and they would shave their head at the beginning of the year, and they would not cut it again until the next vow of the Nazarite would take place. So it probably never got real long, but when a person had a shaved head as a Jewish man, it was a sign that he was probably a Nazarite. And if he had longer hair, he realized, well, you know what? It's not going to be long before he's taking the vow again. So anyway, just make all that said, I want you to notice this. The Bible tells us, she prayed and she said, "I'll give him to the Lord, and he will be a special person directly unto you." And that's what verse number 11 is talking about. And that, not only that, but she said that she would give him back to the Lord. I want you to notice what it says in verse number 21. The child is born. The child is born, and the child now is weaned. It says in the last part of verse 22, "And then will I bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever." I've got three children, Jessica, Jeremy, and John. I love all my kids. I don't know if I could send my kids ever away. I pray that they do the Lord's work. But I'm selfish. I want my kids close to me. It tore me up when Jessica and Jeff moved to Tennessee. I hate it. I do. But I'm happy that they're doing the work of the Lord. But it's a hard thing. Could you imagine how Hannah felt when this child was probably 3 years old, 4 years old? Took him to the house of the Lord and dropped him off and left. That'd be a tough pill to swallow. But she knew the importance of glorifying God with a prayer request. And she said, "Lord, if you'll just give me a man-child, I'll give him back to you." And then I want you to notice the fourth thing. Because Hannah did what was right and what was glorifying to God, God blessed her. Look, if you would please, in verse 20 and 21 of chapter number 2. "And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, 'The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord.' And they went to their home. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord." So here was a woman that was barren, and she prayed and said, "Lord, I just want to have a son. I'll give him back to you. He can be your servant the rest of his life." And because she was willing to sacrifice unto the Lord, God blessed her and gave her three more sons and two more daughters, all because she put God first in her life. Moms, listen to me. The greatest thing you can do is to put the Lord first in your life. The best thing you can do for your children is see that they get into the house of God. See that they get into the Word. The best thing you can do is be a praying mom and say, you know what, I'm going to be on my face before God day and night, and I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to petition God, and I'm going to weep over them, and ask God to answer these prayers so that they will serve God and grow up and love God. She knew the importance of glorifying God. And then God blessed Hannah for her faithfulness. God opened her womb and gave her 3 sons and 2 daughters. The Bible says that Samuel grew. Samuel became a great Old Testament character. Samuel was the one that God used to anoint King David. Samuel was the last of the judges over top of Israel that judged Israel. He used him in a great way. The Bible says in 3 John verse number 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. One of the greatest things that for a pastor and as a father is to hear that one of the Sunday school kids that have come through or one of my kids that have grown up in my home are serving God and making right decisions. That's the greatest joy that comes to my heart. If you want to bring joy to your parents' heart, serve God. There's really no greater joy. The greatest thing that a mother can do for her family is to meet with God and meet with God in God's house. To pray consistently, regardless of the adversity. Pray consistently. Pray sincerely. Maybe shed a few tears. Pray for her family. In closing, let me just say this. You want to have your prayers answered, ladies? The first thing you need to do, make sure you're saved. In John 9:31, it says, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him God heareth. Make sure that you're saved. The Bible says also in Psalm 66 and verse number 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Make sure that you're living in such a way that has God's blessings upon it. God doesn't answer prayers of those that are living contrary to His Word and to His will. I realize we're all sinners and we all come short of the glory of God. But there's one thing of slipping and making a mistake, and there's another thing of just living in outright rebellion against God. Isaiah 59, verse number 1 and 2 tells us that God doesn't answer the prayers of those that are living contrary to His will and His will and His way. So moms, number 1, be saved. Number 2, be sold out to Him. Number 3, desire and attempt to be a prayer warrior for God. Amen? Let's bow our heads, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. There is no greater value that this world could ever imagine than the value of a praying mother. Make sure you take time to pray. I wish my mom was still here to pray for me, but she's gone. Heaven may be a little richer with her presence there. But I think the world is a little darker because she's no longer here. I wish someone would step up and pray for her like she prayed. I wish someone would pray for the preacher like she prayed for me. We need to have praying moms. Today, let me ask this question. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Do you know Him? In just a moment, we're going to sing a verse of invitation. Now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, we're going to invite you to come and let me show you from the Bible how you can know for sure that you're forgiven, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're on your way to heaven. And today, if you're saved, I hope that you'll covet to God to be the type of prayer warrior you need to be. Father in heaven, Lord, I do pray that you'd speak to hearts. Help us, Lord, to be the type of individuals you'd want us to be. Lord, help us to be saved. Help us to be sold out. Help us to be people of prayer. Guide and direct. We ask it all in Jesus' name.